Check. Good morning and welcome. It's great to hear everyone talking and laughing, and it's great to see that we have a bulletin back. But welcome to the Mount Carmel Church of God. I got a few announcements to make. First, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, so just a time to remember and pray for your pastor and the ministers. Also, we are in need of cookies for Awana, so if you're willing to bake, see Elizabeth Hartman. Her phone number is also here, and you guys can arrange that together. Next Sunday is our annual congregation meeting. We'll be meeting after the service. Also, Sunday, October 31st, from 5 to 7, we'll be doing Trunk or Treat here in the parking lot. We still are in need of candy, so if you'd like to, you can drop off candy here at the church. And November 1st, we're doing the Midwest Regional Conference. This will be up at the Laurel Street Church of God in Freeport. And also, this year, our Thanksgiving offering will be going to the food pantry. And also just a reminder that we are doing Operation Christmas Child, and so on your bulletin there's details there. Let's go ahead and open the service with a word and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly come before you. We just thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you corporately. I thank you for each one that's willing to come out and give their time to listen to you, and help us, Lord, to not only listen, but be doers of the word. And take heart what Pastor Tim is bringing today and carry it out into the world. May we be your light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Oh. In case nobody saw that, there is takes one more step before you actually get to the steps as you're walking up this morning. So, all right, can everybody hear me okay? Is the mics on? Seeing here. Are we good now? Awesome. It's good to be here this morning, and I'm really glad to see all the faces and stuff that we have out here. And I'm excited to be here, and hopefully most of you are excited to be here as well this morning. I like that. Can I get another amen? I like that. Let's get excited. We're here to worship Jesus. We're here to worship God and what he's done for each one of us. And as I was preparing for this week's lesson, I started to really think about the world around us and how each day it just seems to be harder and harder to be a Christian. How the world around us keeps pushing us away from the biblical truths that many of us were raised with and that we know what the Bible says. You know, the world keeps expecting us to give a little bit at a time, to move away from what the Word of God says and to go against it. We have so much thrown at us through social media and in the news. The world tells us what to do, how to think. The world tells us what views that we should have of ourselves and others. We're told to be individual and unique, yet fit a perfect mold in everything we do. From TV shows and movies, we get the idea of how relationships should be, what love looks like according to the world. We are often told love is love. We see people falling in and out of love with at least 3 or 4 people a year at times, sometimes in a week, if you deal with teenagers. Some of these things the world tells us even comes from our own friends and family, telling us not to take the word so seriously, to not focus so heavily on the word of God. And man, it just becomes harder and harder to be a Christian. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get into the message today, I just ask that you take over, that your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I ask that if anything is not of you, let it fall on deaf ears. But Father, if the message is that they need to hear, that it may fall hard on their hearts and they may remember it as they go out this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A person's identity is the way that they see themselves. It's also the way that we perceive how others see us. Our identity is formed by the most basic belief and worldview that we hold to. It's based on the friends we have around us, the jobs we hold, and the social groups that we interact with. The world places large emphasis on finding our identity. While the theme isn't always explicit or expressed, finding identity is the underlying tone in every television show, song lyric, TV commercials, or the things that we see online. You know, oftentimes for young women, identity is in the world is found on that number that's inside your dress or your pants. Whether or not you have a ring on your left hand or how big that ring is. For some, it's the name brand item that's found in your closet or how many kids you have or don't have. For young men, the pressure is to find our identity in our sporting abilities or abilities to hunt and fish or having that perfect job, the ability to provide, owning a home. And some of the pressure is found on finding a perfect wife and settling down and raising a family. And so much more. If we aren't at the point in life that the world tells us we should be, we often feel like failures. You know, we have friends and family who are often, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to have kids? When are you going to get to this point? You know, you're in your mid-20s now. Why aren't you there yet? By the time I was 25, I had 3 kids and been married. It happens all the time. The message is also often sent out that we need to be more satisfied. And it's plastered everywhere we turn. Along with being satisfied is that we need more to be satisfied. We're never to be thinking we have enough. We look at the TV commercials and everything we listen to. You need this one more item and you'll be happy. Not in the shape you want? Buy this and this will slim you down in 30 days. And it's all over. And we need to go with it, even if it doesn't fit the uniqueness of how God made us, according to the world. But we often forget that God made us in his image, that we are made to glorify him and not ourselves. We're not made to glorify the world, but we're made to glorify God. It tells us in Psalms 139, verse 14, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made, and your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. We praise God because he chose us and that he made us. Often I feel like we just go with the message the world puts out. Because it's been so ingrained in us, we don't even give it a second thought. We're often told that if we don't go with the world, we won't find any joy. And let's be honest, who doesn't want joy in their life? I know I do. Let's get into today's passage. Today we're going to be in Daniel chapter 1 for anybody who wants to follow along. And as you guys are flipping there, I've got a little bit of backdrop for the passage today. By the time we get to Daniel chapter 1, we know that the kingdom of Israel had already been split into two areas, two different kingdoms. You've got the northern kingdom that kept the name Israel, and then we have the southern kingdom called Judea. The northern kingdom had fallen long before this. And by the time we get to the passage today, the southern kingdom had just fallen to the Babylon. Both nations had gotten to this point by failing to follow the word of God and for falling for what the world had for them. They started lifting up false gods. They stopped paying attention to what God had called them to do. And oftentimes when we think of false gods, we think of the idea that it has to be actually something that we put on an altar and walk into a church or something like that to worship. False gods aren't always those things. False gods can be the things that we put before God himself. You know, sometimes we put our families before we put God. Sometimes we put our jobs before God. We put all these different things in our lives before God, and those themselves can become false gods. In verse 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judea, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. And then verse 2, it says, the Lord handed the king Jehoiakim over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon, to the house of God, and put the vessels in the treasures of his God. And in verse 3, the king ordered Ashaphaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from nobility. And in 4, young men without any physical defect, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He has to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. Now, these young men would have been looking forward to a great life beforehand, before they were captured. You see, they would have been the top training in their kingdom. They would have been on track to have some of the best lives that their world and their area and culture would have gave them. They would have been leaders, and they would have been respected by everyone around them. And at this moment, everything in the world that would have just been turned upside down for them. They no longer held such positions once they were captured. They were now slaves to a new kingdom and a new world. They were being taken away from the world they had grew up in, and they were to be trained in a whole new culture and being pushed to forsake their God, the one true God of Israel. And in verse 5, it says, the king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years. And at the end of the time, they were to attend the king. You know, earlier I mentioned how the world around us often asks us to conform to it. How we have messages from the news and social media constantly telling us who we are and what to expect of us, and how we should see the world. For these young men that were just captured, they would have had the same problem. Everything that they had perceived beforehand would have been being pushed out. So they were maybe given the best of what the new world had to offer them. Yet by doing that, they had to accept the new world, and they had to conform and leave their old way of thinking. They had to become Babylonian. And that's the same for us. A lot of times when we start getting into the world and we start stepping away from God, we have to start conforming to the world around us. We have to start taking in what the world has to say, and we have to push God out. That doesn't bring anything good into our lives. You know, we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And in verse 6 and 7, it says, among them from the Judahites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I'm sure most of you have heard of Daniel, but you probably have not heard of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or so you think. See, the chief eunuch in verse 7 gave them names. He gave the name Belshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. Now, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are not the only Israelites we're talking about that were taken captured. There would have been many more that would have been captured along with them. I always found it interesting how the Babylonians found it fitting to change the names of their captives, especially in this passage. This was not at all uncommon for that time in history. For, you see, if you get... See, if you can get use someone to change their name and start using a different name, they will start looking at themselves differently. It will help them walk away from their past and conform to the cultures around them. And you know, and it is the same for us today in our lives. Think about how name changes have affected you in your life, though some of these name changes may have been good. You know, you started off as someone's son or daughter, maybe a brother or sister. And as you grew up, you changed. Good chance you became a father or a mother in life. Or maybe you were like me, who became an uncle or an aunt. I did not become an aunt. Let me clarify that. I became an uncle. And even some of you have gotten the honor of being called grandma or grandpa. How often have these things change the way you looked at yourself or the world around you when you've taken that new name? Each step has pushed you to grow and to start looking at your life differently. These are great things that many of us have gotten to enjoy and have gone through these different changes. Though for Daniel and the rest of the guys, this type of name change was to help them lose their identity in the culture that God had served in the whole life, serving the one true God. There are other things the world tells us all the time. If we don't conform to the world around us, we're often called different names as well. Often the names that are given to us are derogatory in nature, though, if we don't conform. You know, the world tells us that we are often unlovable, but we need to remember what God says. God tells us that we are forever loved. The world says that we are scarred beyond repair. But God says we are healed through him. The world may call us weak, but God says through our weakness, he makes us strong. The world sees us as worthless, but God says that we're worth it. The world often says we are nothing special, but God tells us we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And through all of this, the world may reject us when we hold on to the word of God. But God says we're his. And just like we have to choose what we will do, so did Daniel's and the other Israelites. It was at this moment that Daniel understood that he had to make some choices in his life. If we look back on verse 5, we see something interesting in the first part. In verse 5, it says, the king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that the king himself would have drank. Now, the problem with this is that this would have been a no-no for the Israelites to partake in any of this food. You see, the food would have been offered to another god, to a false god. The food mostly would have also included meat and stuff than which they were not to eat underneath their tradition. And by taking this food, this would have defiled Daniel and the other young men. So what is Daniel and the others to do? In verse 8, it tells us, Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank, so he asked permission from the chief eunuch to not defile himself. Daniel decided to step out in boldness and to stand for what he believed. He understood he was not in his homeland any longer, but he still needed to be faithful to God. How many of us would be willing to do the same thing today? How many of us would be willing to stand on the word of God even when the world is telling us not to? So often we're just quiet in those moments when we're faced with those situations. If we read further from this passage, we can see that making this choice could have ended with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah being killed for not following what the king asked of him. Yet you see that they were willing to step up even in the face of death. We see in verse 12 through 16, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink." They examined our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He agreed with them about this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guards continued to remove their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. What exciting diet is that? Vegetables and water. Who in here would be excited if that was all you could eat? I'm glad to see nobody's going for that. But the part that gets me through this is we know that there should have been other Israelites as well who went with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yet they didn't partake in any of this. They were willing to defile themselves, even knowing they were called not to do so. See, it wasn't just those young men that were there. This would have been a bunch of them, a bunch of Israelites who knew better, who would have been raised in that way. And yet they were willing to defile themselves. They were willing to go with the world around them. And you know what? We see this inside churches as well. There are people among us that walk away from the faith. They will turn to the world around them and take the path of least resistance. They will look at what the world has to offer, and they'll try to straddle that line between God and the world. It's so often that we see this day in and day out. We see people who want to come into church each and every day. They want to say they proclaim Jesus, but when we watch them step outside these walls, we see them fall on their face and just give to the world. Folks, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's a transformation that happens in our lives. There's a transformation that we can't describe. I look back at my own life and the failures that I have made and the years in which I walked away from God, and I had to deal with that, and I searched the world for everything that I could find, and yet nothing brought me joy or excitement. It wasn't until that moment I got on my knees and I surrendered to Christ fully that God took over, and I started seeing joy in even the worst of places. No matter what the world threw at me, I was able to find joy. I was able to find peace in ways that I can't describe. You have to experience it for yourself. And we have to remember that we can't look at our brothers and sisters all the time and have them set the standards, because they're going to fall as well. There's only one person who can set the standard, and that is Christ Himself. And He's already done that. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, we find a passage, and it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Because see, when the day comes that we stand in front of Jesus, when that moment comes, that on that day many will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name? But in verse 23, it tells us, then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. I don't want that for any of you in here this morning. I want you to hear good and faithful servant when you stand in front of Jesus. So if there's something in your life that's been holding you back from following what God is asking, I ask that you hand that over to him this morning before you leave. You still have time. You're still breathing. We are called to live a holy life, one that is pleasing to God, even going against the world, when the world asks us to do something that goes against the word of God. We need to be bold in those moments. Just as Daniel was worried about the world was asking of him to take into his body, we need to make sure that we are placing into our body. And I'm not talking about food this morning. I'm talking about the things we listen to, the movies we watch, the TV shows we watch, the people we allow to speak into our lives. Sometimes that means making hard choices. If your friends or family ask you to go do something you know that you're not supposed to do, you have to make a decision at that very moment. Do you go with the world or do you go with God? I know it's not always easy making that right choice. I have been there often myself. But the Bible never tells us that it's going to be easy to follow Jesus. It never says that it's going to make us popular. In fact, Matthew 16, 24, it tells us, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. We often forget we're not of this world. The world will hate us because of Jesus. But we need to stand firm on the word of God. In John 15, 19, it says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. I know, real invigorating to hear that. Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good and pleasing, perfect will of God. We need to learn to be more like Daniel and pursue God even when it does not make us popular. We need to learn what the book here actually says. And I don't mean a little passage here and there that you memorized. You need to read it from cover to cover. Taking that time to engage in his word. So we know when the world comes knocking on what and how we are to respond and act. A lot of times we like to chalk it up to just church rules and Christianese, as I heard this morning in Bible study. You know, we just kind of go with it because we've always been raised a certain way. But do we understand on why we're doing it that way? And I'm going to tell you today that there's a reward at the end for those who stay faithful to God. In Daniel 1:17, we see that God gave those four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions, dreams of every kind. God blessed Daniel and those four over all the others because he stayed faithful to God even when the others didn't. And that's the same for us. When we stay faithful to God, no matter what the world throws at us, we get a reward as well. We find joy in those difficult moments. We also get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant at the end. We get to spend eternity with God in heaven. What better reward could we ask for? Or we can choose the world. The beauty of God is that he gave us that choice. He gave us the ability to choose where and who we follow. And I want to encourage you today to follow Christ and to move over to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning and the opportunity we have to worship and to praise you. Father, I want to encourage if there's anyone here this morning who's been holding on to the world, even if it's just one area, that they release it to you. And Father, that they pursue you with all they have. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son and the penalty in which he paid on that cross so that we have a way out and making it easy for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides and walks alongside of each one of us. And Father, we thank you for creating us in your image. And may we always remember that we are loved. And when you were done creating us, you said it was good. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Out wide. the cross, to the cross.
As you prepare to go out this week, just keep in mind, what would Jesus do? I know it sounds cliche. We all had the little bracelets growing up, but it's true. And it's such a reminder for each one of us. Thank you. God bless.